You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense, stay within your limits, go to gamesense.ab.ca. Joins us, Spec. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Not bad. Very sad news about the Pod Colsons. Send my regards and condolences.
Yeah, for sure. Well, especially, well, it's always, anytime it's brutal to lose your father, but you think about it, like for Vasily, like the previous day, he was probably calling his parents. Well, maybe they signed the contract the day before, but either way, probably having a pretty big celebration, like, son, man, I'm really proud of you. Great. You're in a 3-year deal. Like, it's life altering money for him and his family. And then, you know, less than 48 hours or 24, whenever it happened, unfortunately, his father passes away. So he'll be, and that explains why Pod Colson wasn't in the lineup today. When you looked, he didn't play last night, kind of thought he would play today, but he's not. You look at the lineup, the order is both teams' top two lines are pretty much NHL guys for the most part. Now, Yarventi's obviously not a full timer. Then you got the top two defense pairs on each side tonight. So pretty even there. Obviously, the skill set of Edmonton's top guys is a little bit better than the skill set of Seattle's top guys.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be that way in September, and it's going to be that way in October, November, December, and January, and February, March, and April, because Edmonton's a better team. But it is nice to see. It's nice to see a game where, you know, Edmonton's at home and they're dressing all their big guys. It's nice to see Seattle come to town with a good lineup. Last night's lineup was very equal in Winnipeg. Winnipeg did not dress a totally, you know, superior lineup to Edmonton's by any means. It was pretty much equal in terms of guys you think are going to be in opening day lineups between the two teams. And the Oilers did pretty well out there. I thought they controlled a good chunk of that game, Jason.
Yeah, they did. You know what? There's some Noah Phil played very well last night. You know, Howard and Hudson both scoring. That's what you want to do when you're young guys to get noticed. I really like Noah Phillips' game spec, and I know that he's, you know, he's in tough, but, you know, that's what he's got to do. There's nothing more he can do than to be one of the, you know, the more noticeable players in every preseason game.
Listen, they need a right-handed centerman, and especially one that's pretty good at face-offs. And for his, you know, well, Phillip isn't young. What did we say? Is
27.
He not 27?
Yeah, just turned 27, yeah.
He's not young anymore. Nope. He's not a young player. So his face-off work, he's a young NHLer. He hasn't played many NHL games, but his face-off work has been pretty good. Like, he feels like he's a guy that, given a couple runs through the NHL, you know, he'll probably get beat up. I know last night he was going pretty good till late in the game. Jonathan Toews gave him a couple of lessons and, you know, get in line. No. Jonathan Toews has schooled a few guys over the years. But the my point is, my point is this. I think there's a job for Phillip as a fourth line center because they need someone to take draws, particularly on the PK. You know, we were talking, you and me, in the press box about how, like, every Oilers face-off starts in that, you know, looking at it from the offensive team, Draisaitl skates to that left circle. He's a lefty. That's where he wants to draw. And his percentage in power play draws is exceptionally high. Most teams, not every team, most teams' power play centerman is a lefty. They all start in that side. You need a righty killing penalties to win that draw once in a while. And the Oilers don't have one right now. Phillip might be that guy.
Yeah, well, you want competition. And, you know, with Zach Hyman out, it's going to open up a spot on the roster for someone, because we knew that Hyman was a lock stone cold. So there's a spot on the roster, and then there's a different spot in the lineup, right? It's kind of two different things. Just, I'm not saying Phillips replacing Hyman, obviously, right? But somebody has to move up, and then, you know, it's a trickle up effect, shall we say, in this regard. And so Noah Phillip, you know what? There's lots of guys at Edmonton that you're kind of hoping for and looking to see, you know, if they can do it, and Phillip would be one. You know, Ike Howard has gotten better, which I think is a good sign. Sometimes players start well in the preseason spec in the early games, and then when it gets more NHL players, not as noticeable. Yep. So, and that's what we'll see. Like, the starting, probably not until maybe the Vancouver game is when you start to get down to, you know, almost like 13 veterans per team, right? Then maybe the next week it's up to 15 or 16 in some of those games. And I know they're still not regular season games, but they're a lot closer, and they're a little crisper. You know, there's not as many mistakes, and it's just a little bit harder to make plays.
Oh, yeah. There's all of the levels. You know, there's the first couple games are rookie games. The rest of the preseason gets harder and harder. Then we start the season, and there's a level, Jason, when the season starts, that's a step up.
Yeah.
Game one on October 9 or whatever it is, 8.
Yeah.
And then I've swatched it every year, man. Somewhere between November 15th, you know, and November 30th, that's to me the next level where the lines are getting some chemistry. Everybody's dialed into a season. We're all got our timing here. There's another jump there. So we've watched all kinds of guys. I always forget his name. Who's that cat from Ty Ratty scored all those goals, you know, early. Then it got hard and he stopped scoring goals. So good, pass the test now, but don't think there's another test coming because there's every month in this league, there's another test coming.
100% there is. And so they'll have to get better. Trent Frederick, I think, Spec, we're probably going to see him in both of Hyman's roles tonight. 5-on-5 with McDavid and Draisaitl, and I'm assuming as the net front presence on the power play.
Let's see if Trent Frederick can take a step in his career here. This is a big spot for him. You know, this is a big opportunity. He has to this point, and this is, I'm not limiting him, to this point, Jason, he's been at best a middle six right winger. You know, he's a really good third liner. He's an okay second liner. That's what he's been. Now, he can take a step here because he's in a position where they're not expecting a ton of offense out of him. But those guys, he doesn't have to drive that line. He gets a puck, he gives it to 29 or 97, and he goes to the net. So let's see where it goes for him. Maybe he can take a step and turn 18 goals into, if it works for him, like 25. Maybe he can do it, but he hasn't done it yet. So we're all going to kind of wait and watch from afar.
Mark Spector joins us. Spec, it's just watching not a great start for the Jays. They're down 3-0 in the first
inning. Scherzer's getting shelled in the first inning here. He's been good this year, but his first innings haven't been any good.
No.
And he's back at it again tonight. One out, three in, and a man on first.
Yeah, so not ideal start. And they're going up against like the ace of the Boston staff, who does he have the most strikeouts in MLB this year? If not, he's got to be like second or third. So that'll be
right up there.
That is going to be tough. But like, obviously the preseason's on spec, but this week of baseball, man, it is, there's lots going on. The Jays, they're trying to fend off the Yankees. So far, it's not going great. You got Detroit fighting for their playoff lives, right? And with Cleveland, who's unreal right now, and even Houston. Then you throw in there's a three-way race for the wild card spot in the NL. Like, this is, if you're a baseball guy, man, this is an unreal final week. Like, I'm trying to think if I've seen this many, you know, close races in the final five games of the season in quite some time.
Well, and the hunted, you know, the hunters turn into the hunted. Like, Cleveland, they hunted down Detroit, man, and you know, they're in the process of passing them by. The Jays have had a handy 5-4, three-game lead for a couple of months here. All of a sudden, the Yankees are one behind them, and the Boston Red Sox here still have a sniff. And these games mean a ton to Boston, and they're out here right now. You know, they're looking to win a series. So it's not over. Like, it's amazing that you play 162 games, and here we are with five left, and it's still a giant toss-up.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, no, that's very crazy about Major League of Baseball, no question. When you look at the order, Spec, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins looks like he's going to start as the second line center, and obviously Pod Colson now, maybe that's up in the air because of his father. The regular season is 2 weeks away. You know, maybe he'll be back by then. Who knows? We'll see. But who do you think will be the second line wingers for Nugent-Hopkins?
Well, Mangiapane for sure. Like, I feel like there's, you know, I feel like when you got, let me take it, look at it this way, Jay, you can help me figure this out. I feel like when you're the Oilers, you got two top six centermen, obviously, in McDavid and Draisaitl. You got a top six winger in Hyman. You got a top, I think we'll call Mangiapane a legitimate top six winger. I think he is. I think it's fair to say that. So you got two top six right wingers, let's say. So now who's going to be your left wingers on the, let's say that Draisaitl and McDavid are apart just for fun. Who's your left wingers? Is Nugent Hopkins a legitimate top six left winger? Doesn't score much at even strength. I'm not sure. And then who's the next one? It's Pod Colson, and his numbers would say to you that he is not a top six left winger, right?
Yeah.
So who's that guy? Who's the, you know, who's the last top six player they put in there? Is it Frederick? I don't know. Is it Pod Colson? Maybe. You know, it's a good question, right? Someone's got to turn into a top six player that hasn't been one in the past, and I'm not exactly sure who it's going to be.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be like an ongoing audition that they'll have multiple different guys seeing if it works at different times. I think like when Drysdale's there, Pod Coles, and I think is his left winger spec. I think Drysdale's made it abundantly clear he really likes how he plays.
Yeah, he likes.
He might not get just the point totals, but he does so many other things to allow Drysdale to get the point totals, and so that works.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean, but listen, everyone out there listening here, whoever your favorite team is, if it's not Edmonton, go through the guys that your team puts on the ice for the top two lines. And then think about how many of those guys are legit on any team in the league, top six players. Like nobody has six, right? Nobody gets six guys that are legit everyday top six, like Zach Hyman. Zach Hyman's a top six player on any team in the league. Mm-hmm. You don't get six guys. You get the bad teams have two or three. The good teams have four or five. No one has six. You're always got a guy in that top six. That's, let's say Pod Colson. His numbers aren't top six, but he does a certain thing that you really like. I don't mind Pod Colson playing with Drysdale. Hell, Drysdale was the only 50-goal, 100-point man in hockey last year. Pod Colson had something to do with that.
Yeah. Oh, 100% he did. Right. And you listen to Drysdale. Drysdale thinks he had a big part of it. So yeah. I think it should be interesting to watch that. Definitely will have an eye on the out of town scoreboard, watching baseball games all over the place, as well as the preseason game. And we'll get into the Elks game tomorrow. They got, like, obviously there was the big news in the CFL this week. And I see that, you know, there was the original frustration. You're seeing lots of other players and managers saying, hey, you know what? I actually like these moves. So, which I think I understand. Well, you're going to have different opinions on it, and that's okay. Obviously, the proof will be in the pudding. But I think part of this will be on, like, when it comes to punting, it will be on the coaches. And that's why when I put my tweet out about, hey, you know, getting rid of the rouge and stuff like that, and I said, hey, I'd make it mandatory that you got to gamble twice, because sadly, football coaches right now in the CFL are naturally conservative, right? Like we saw Derek Taylor, he showed the odds on third and two on a wide field, a yard off the ball. Teams barely gamble, like 30% of the time. But
30% on third and two?
Yeah, but they have it. Okay. But they have a success rate of 68%.
Okay.
So
70.
Yeah, so it's pretty good, right? To get 2 yards, so. Maybe do it more often. And with the longer field goal attempts, it's going to have to be something that's in their mind rather than try to have short punts that, you know, just to pin guys deep. That doesn't make any sense.
I feel like you know what? Call me a guy that doesn't know anything about football if you want. I feel like an offensive coordinator should have a two or three-yard play that he doesn't use the whole game. Until, like the other night in Hamilton, when it's third and 1.5 at a really crucial moment, right? There should be a play that you work on in practice that everybody knows works, where the quarterback has an option or two options, whatever. I'm just saying, when I see coaches, when it's third and two, going over their playbook, trying to devise a play, I always think, you should have a play ready for this moment, shouldn't you, Jason? Maybe that's why they don't gamble. Maybe not enough of them have a play ready for that moment.
Yeah, no. Well, it's true, and I do think at times they're still a little too conservative for my liking. So,
goodness, for sure. And before I let you go, the other game this weekend, I know we got Ryder Cup. That Women's World Cup final between Canada and England is on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Yeah, we're hoping to have Jen awesome Kish on the show, I think, maybe tomorrow or Friday. So that should be
good. Go to your local rugby club, get a pint in your hand, cheer on the Canadian girls. They're doing something that no Canadian rugby team's ever done before.
Yeah, well, they're into the fight and well-deserving of it, right? They beat
them. Oh, yeah, they're killing all the good teams, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, like they're not just winning. They're winning pretty handily. So do you know what time that match is at?
I don't know what time it's at. I think it's like round noon because it's a night game. They're playing at Twickenham. They're in England playing against England. So they're the ultimate visitor in the final game of the World Cup. And they are completely the underdog and the visitor and the crowd, you know, not cheering for them.
Yeah.
So they got them right where they want them, man.
Connor tells me 9 a.m. is when it's
9 a.m.?
9 a.m., Spec. Wouldn't be the first time a rugby clubhouse had a pint at 9 a.m.
Oh, are you kidding? Not even close. That's getting kind of late.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Speck, have a good one. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
All right.
There you go. That's the Speck.